Good evening again, everyone. I know it's not the handsome man that usually stands here, tall, broad-shouldered, but I'll do my best to fill in. Children, you may be dismissed for children's Bible time. For those of us that remain that are a little bit older than they are leaving, if you would please open your Bibles to Ezekiel 3:16. Again, you can open your Bible anywhere you want. As 2 Timothy 3:16 says, this is all good. But if you want to follow along, I'm going to be in Ezekiel 3:16. All right. The title of this evening's message is, Am I a Watchman? I will tell you that it is a question that I've been asking myself for over 15 years, and I still question if I know the answer to that or not. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here this evening. We thank you for the blessing that is Lighthouse. We ask that you would please watch over our pastor and his family during this time of grieving. Please help him with the great burden that lays ahead of him for his mother's funeral. Lord, I ask that you would bless this service tonight, bless this message. In your precious name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are over in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. We're going to read out of the Lord's word. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. In his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. So what we're seeing here as you read throughout Ezekiel, especially the first three chapters there, and as you move throughout Ezekiel was sent to the Israelites, and he was told by God that they were rebellious, impotent, and stiff-hearted as they transgressed against the Lord. And he charged Ezekiel not to be afraid of them, specifically of their words that would come at him like thorns and barbs. He said, don't be dismayed by their looks when they scowl at you, when they turn their heads away from you because you're giving my word to them. And for us, I have to imagine that those are the same people that we encounter each day. When we go into our workplaces, when we go to school, even when we encounter our family, I imagine that when you've spoken about the Lord, when you've mentioned Christ, when you've talked about this amazing church and the churches you've been to before, when you've gone and knocked on a door, how many people have said those cross words to you that have cut at you like a barb and thorn? How many people have turned their heads away from you or said, we don't want that here. We don't have that in our house. So have you ever had someone that looked at you differently because you were trying to be a watchman for the Lord? And I will ask, if you haven't, is it because of one or two reasons? If no one's ever said a cross thing to you for mentioning the Lord, is it because you've stopped mentioning him because you got tired of how they treated you differently? Because you've got tired of those words because it broke you down and you were tired of bleeding for the Lord? Or is it because you've never mentioned him in the first place? Have you, like I suffered from in my beginning walk with Christ, did you just never mention the Lord to anyone, never have any trial? Never have anything like that happen? Are you, as we hear pastors say, if we've heard it from hundreds of years from pastors, you've listened to old sermons, are you warning others to flee the wrath to come? I will tell you that since trusting the Lord a decade and a half ago, I've asked myself multiple times, am I a watchman? Is it really my responsibility to go out and share the gospel? Aren't there enough people that are already doing it anyways? Do I have to do it too and suffer whatever comes from it? So The first time I encountered this, I was in Germany. I had a young soldier who came up to me and she says, "Hey, Sergeant Warren, I see that you're going to church. I've heard you mention it when we're at work. Can you tell me about Jesus?" And I was there. She came to me. The Lord sent her to me and said, "Hey, Sergeant Warren, can you tell me about Jesus?" And I will tell you that I didn't. I was so unprepared. I was so not a watchman when I had just trusted Christ myself that I had nothing to give to her. I was like Saul in 1 Samuel going into battle completely unprepared. I had nothing. I didn't have Roman road. I hadn't studied my Bible. I didn't even have a gospel tract on me. There was nothing that I had to give her, even as something as simple as what I learned from Mr. De Guzman. I couldn't even give her my own testimony. I didn't need to know Genesis through Revelation. I literally just needed to tell her how I trusted God, and I didn't do it. God made me a watchman, and I failed my post. I didn't yell to flee the wrath to come. I didn't plead with her that day to know that Christ was coming back, and then he's coming for her, and then he wants her to be saved. I didn't do anything. I fumbled my way through something, told her where our church was, and she left that day with nothing for me. I gave her no warning whatsoever. It's something I will tell you I think about after all these years. I think Brother Impador shared something similar with one of his family members. The Lord gave me an opportunity to be a watchman, and I failed to heed his calling. If you would, please turn over to Ezekiel 33, verse 7. I will tell you that it does get better. I'd like to think it does anyways. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7. And I'll read aloud. "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." And the other portion that I'll read real quick, and I always encourage you to follow along in your own Bibles. We're going over to Isaiah 62, verse 6, something many of you may be very familiar with. Both relating. In the interest of time, I'm going to read. "I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence." What did I do when I first started? I kept silent. I kept silent at work. I kept silent amongst my friends and family. Even though I had God's word with me everywhere I went, I either had a Bible or I had my phone with the Bible on it, and yet I was still silent. And we, just as Ezekiel did, we have heard the word that came from God's mouth. Ezekiel heard it from God himself. And what have we? We have the Bible. We literally have God's word. We hear it. We hold it in our hands. And we are commanded by the Lord to share it with others. And what does it say? Day nor night. Keep not silence. So like the watchman on the walls, we should not hold our peace. And I will tell you, I've worked so hard not to hold mine now. I've tried to become more bold as I've grown older, as I've become more secure and understood my Bible more. As I become more confident in God's word, I try not to be silent when I talk about him because I'm so excited. It's like with a kid when you hear him. Gwayne was a great example. Do you know about my friend Jesus? Can I tell you about my friend Jesus? I would tell you, and any of you have heard me on a Saturday, when anyone asks, "What are you doing for New Year's? What are you doing this weekend?" I love to tell them about Lighthouse Baptist Church. Have I told you about my church? We preach the gospel. We talk about Jesus here. We have the Lord inside of our walls. We have it outside of the walls. I just want to tell you more about it. Last past Sunday, we heard Brother Ray just so excited about the Lord to share it with these bus kids. He's being a watchman for the Lord, standing on those walls and yelling at the top of his lungs, "Flee the wrath to come. Do you know Jesus? Do you know my friend Jesus?" So many of you have either heard about, or I imagine you've experienced it too, of families being split over something as petty as a sports team. Literally, families splitting over sports teams, something so petty. Many for politics. We're told not to talk about it at work or at family gatherings, Thanksgiving and Christmas. Politics split people apart. The one thing that really splits people is their religious differences. I know for a fact that a lot of you have religious differences from those that you love the most, from your brothers, your sisters, your parents, even your children, and you've watched it split your families apart. And I don't doubt that a lot of you have suffered this since you trusted Christ, that those friendships have fallen away, that your relationships have changed with your family. Now, I apologize if I get emotional on this. It's something I'm still working through today. Some of you may know that I don't have an active relationship with my mom and dad anymore. That's been gone for a long time. It's recent with my father. This past Christmas, he has chosen that he doesn't want to be a part of our lives anymore. And while some might view this as a negative, I can't view that as a negative myself. I give all credit to the Lord and to the men and women that I've encountered over the past 16 years, to include the one sitting right here with me tonight. As I have chosen a path for my family, for my children, to walk with the Lord and to continuously do whatever He tells me to do when He tells me to do it, I have watched as my family has begun to distance themselves from us. My aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my own mother and father, they don't want to be a part of our lives anymore because of the stance that we've taken for God. It is my family's belief that us raising Henry and Benjamin in this church and to follow the Lord will be bad for them, that we're not exposing them to the right things in the world, that they're going to suffer in the long term because of the path that we've chosen. And it breaks my heart that I don't talk to a lot of my family members anymore. At Christmas, it started, oh, you know, Joshua, you can pray for us. And I pray over the meal. We do the same Thanksgiving and Christmas. And that's kind of gone away now. It's been a little more discouraged. Or no, we'll say a quick prayer. We don't want to hear it from you anymore. And I don't know if you're experiencing that too. I've experienced it at work. I know for a fact any of you that have served in the military that you've experienced that, especially anywhere that's political, because you're not welcomed anymore in those communities. If you're at a church, if you're at a school, especially a public school, they don't want to hear you talk about God, especially not your workplace. I've been uninvited. The group gatherings that we do after my boss leaves, they normally all get together, they drink and they celebrate, hey, mission success. I don't get invited anymore, and I'm not discouraged by that. It tells me maybe I'm just doing the right thing. I've chosen to abstain from alcohol, and that's frowned upon in my community. I've chosen to start talking about God more when I'm with my family, and I'm not afraid anymore. I'm not recluse to do it. And I've watched so many of you that have come out on Saturdays that are just willing to share the gospel, and you do it without fear. And so every Thanksgiving and Christmas, when I walk away from my family, when we depart, I ask myself, am I a watchman? Is it my job to tell my family about God? Can't somebody else do it? I've invited my father-in-law, and he shared the gospel truth with my family. And they've rejected him as well. They've rejected his church. They don't want to hear about it. He's too conservative in his beliefs and his values. He preaches too closely out of his Bible, and it makes us uncomfortable. I was sharing it with Brother Mark earlier. When I hear messages from this pulpit and from the churches that I've been to, from the watchman that is in charge of this church, there are several times that I may have disagreed with something the pastor said, but it wasn't because of something he said wrong. It was because he was preaching out of the Word of God, and I was the one in the wrong. And it pricked me in the heart, and I felt convicted, and it hurt my feelings, because I felt like he was preaching at me, and I knew that I needed to fix my relationship with the Lord or with my wife or with my kids. And that's because the watchman that was standing behind this pulpit was doing what he was supposed to. He wasn't remaining silent. He was given the Word of God undiluted. And it came at me and it inspired me that maybe I need to be doing something more. If you would, we're going to go to a familiar passage, Proverbs 22:6. I guarantee about half of you could probably say this just by hearing it. We've heard it so many times, especially any of you that are parents. And I wasn't raised in a church at all. No member of my family cared about church. There was one up the road from me that I rode my bicycle to, but the Word of God wasn't preached in my house. We had a half dozen Bibles from different volumes on the shelves, but they never got taken out of the bookcase. No one talked about Jesus in my house unless it was used as a way to punish you. So Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I have watched so many watchmen over the years, that preacher, that pastor that has been willing to share. My father-in-law is amazing about it. He's got an elevator spiel. If we're in an elevator with him and somebody hops on, he's quick to talk about Jesus. And by golly, he's got that track in his pocket. He's ready to hand it out. And he's not afraid of what they say. He just wants to tell them about Jesus. I had a grandfather on Amanda's side who his words, the last ones he was doing was a stack of tracks beside his bedside as he's dying, just trying to give out the word of God to warn people to flee the wrath to come. But the most phenomenal watchmen I have ever watched are the phenomenal, amazing children of this church right here, the teenagers and the young men and women. The things that were coming out of my mouth when I was a child were not bringing glory to the Lord, was not trying to guide anyone toward God. Many things came out of my mouth that I was repeating from my parents and my family, but they were not glorifying the Lord. But the young men and women of this church, you can hear them praising the Lord when they stand here. You can hear them on Saturdays and when they go out. When Amanda and Caitlin are in their Sunday schools, when Zachary and Timothy are there, their teen boys and girls are telling them about what they're experiencing at church and the struggles they have that the rest of us can't even imagine what it's like to be 16 years old and to try to share the gospel with someone and how intimidating that is. But they do it anyways. I have been blessed with sons who can't sit through a haircut without asking their beautician, what church do you go to? Do you know Jesus? Every time we go somewhere to get their haircut, they're asking, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you go to church? Do you want to know about him? I hear Henry giving his testimony. I hear Ben talking about his friend Jesus, but his friends at church. But I will tell you, as much as I love my boys, and they are great, there is one who stands out from the rest. And I will tell you that if you've never been on visitation with Briggs Monday, you are missing out in this church. If you want to hear someone that is a watchman for the Lord, that speaks boldly the word of God, that will hand a tract to anybody, no matter how old or young they are, whether they got a dog that runs up to the door or anything, if it's a camera, he'll talk to the camera. That young man will give a gospel tract to anybody, and he is an encouragement always. I love going out with Briggs Monday. That boy doesn't stop for anything. He's got more energy than I can imagine having. That is what we all need to be. That is a watchman for the Lord. And I speak this to any of the young people here. You are a better watchman than what I can be right now. I'm not allowed to talk about God at work. I literally lose my job. A lot of us are in those positions. You can't mention the Lord at work. It's not allowed. If someone asks you direct, yes. But they'll listen to you before they will me. William, I will tell you, you're a much better looking man than I am, and they'll listen to you before they will me. When Brother Meyer and I, Tim Meyer and I, used to go up to the door and knock, we realized we couldn't do it anymore. The two of us walking up to a door, people don't answer the door. You got two guys that look like us, they think we're there to cause trouble. So now we split up. We'd always take a kid with us or with our wives because it just, you have better results. I have had the good fortune in my career to stand before generals and stand before the president and the vice president and get to speak and have to give briefings, and I've been able to do it. But when I stood before my own father, I wasn't a watchman. I was intimidated by my dad. I was intimidated by my grandma and grandpa. It just made me nervous to ask them where they stood at with the Lord. I heard him mention it here and there, but I couldn't do it. I can talk to almost anyone when I'm in uniform. It doesn't matter. I've had to do it, and I do it, and I can do it boldly. But talking about Jesus, it was harder for me to be a watchman. And that changed for me one day. We were at my dad's house, and Henry talked to his papa, and he said, Papa Jim, do you know Jesus? You never go to church. And my dad gave some great big spiel of why he doesn't go to church anymore. And Henry didn't want to hear it. It didn't discourage him. He didn't care. Papa Jim, you ought to be in church. And he just kept going on it. And eventually, it was Henry that was a watchman to my own father when it comes to trusting Christ as a Savior. Not his son. Not a man that has tried to do his best to study his Bible. It was a young boy who just showed up to church and who cared about his grandfather's soul. Who had more bravery than his own father did. But thankfully, Henry inspired me when it came to my grandparents. My grandpa, who passed away in December, I got to know that he went to heaven because Henry pushed me to go to my grandparents to make sure they were right with the Lord and that they knew Christ as their Savior. And this day, I have that assurance that my grandfather and my grandmother, they know Christ as their Saviors. But it wasn't because of anything that I did. It was a young man who had the courage to do it. It was watching the young men and young women in this church when we go out. I've spoken about Michaela since you happen to be sitting there. I was talking to Amanda. We dropped Michaela off at home, and I was like, what do you think of that? That young lady made her way all the way over to this church from her home. She got in her vehicle. She went out, and she went on visitation, not because anyone ordered her to. No one was looking at her. But she did it anyways and then got a ride home on a Saturday when she could have been doing anything else. She showed up to visitation. I was like, I didn't do that as a teenager. I could care less about talking about Jesus. I wanted to sleep in and do whatever I felt like it. But the kids of this church aren't like that. They're doing differently than what we do. They're so on fire for the Lord, it blows my mind. The number of you that I see on Saturdays that are going out and preaching, you're watchmen for the Lord. And I want to be more like that. I've studied my Bible, and the more I read through it, the more I go through Genesis and Exodus, Ezekiel, all throughout the New Testament, what do I see over and over and over again from God? Go out and preach the gospel from your mouth. As I have told it to you, tell it to others. Be ye not afraid, I have given you the word. And he tells us to be watchmen and to not be silent. And so I have had that now. And I will tell you, when I started off this journey, our pastor, I had gotten back from Iraq, he brought me up and he baptized me. And I remember being so discouraged at the next words he said. He said, we have Brother Warren here and he has been baptized. But he's not been discipled. He knows Christ, but he doesn't know how to talk about Christ. And I stood there and I was like, man, did he just insult me? He just baptized me, but he's telling me that I'm still not doing the right thing. And I realized he wasn't saying that at all. He was telling me, okay, you know the Christ. You know Christ now. Now what are you going to do with that knowledge? All of us here that can still walk, we know Christ. And if you don't, after the service, I would encourage you to come forward, and I promise no one will ever look at you different. We want you to know the Lord. But if you know him, what are you doing with it now? Are you being discipled? And if you're not being discipled, come and get with one of us. We will disciple you. I've been discipled. My watchman was Amanda. My person that led me to know the Lord was my own wife. She sent me Bibles and gospel tracts. I was in Iraq. I had been recently shot at, and I remember sitting down with this care package for my wife to pass out gospel tracts and Bibles to my soldiers who had asked me about it. And I read a tract that told me that I wasn't going to heaven. And I remember sitting there in that little wooden shack and weeping profusely, crying, realizing that I'd been there for all those months and I didn't even know Christ as my Savior. And it was terrifying. And I finally had that watchman that was Amanda who brought her own husband to know Christ. And each one of us here have the ability to be a watchman for others in our schools, at our workplaces, on weekends. And despite the fact that my family doesn't seem to want to talk to me anymore because I have been trying to tell them about the Lord for so long, the Lord keeps encouraging me every day to just keep doing it. I refuse to change my mind. I know I'm on the right path at this point. The more I read into my Bible, the deeper my love for Christ grows. It's extraordinary. I know all of you, so many of you have already been there. The more you read, it's like I just want more. I hunger for his word and I hunger to tell others about him. I spoke about it several Saturdays ago. I feel like it's bursting out of me like this overflowing well and fountain of I just want to tell you about Jesus. Can I tell you about the Lord? When I read about Brother Marzouk, that we have those that are illiterate, who can't read, that are learning God's word just by hearing it. What am I doing? I can read every word in this Bible. But do I hunger for that? And do I hunger to tell others about it at the same time? And so in the recent years, I've continued to ask myself, as I have for the past 16, is it my responsibility to tell my family, my coworkers, my friends about Christ? Am I a watchman? And I've made up my mind over the recent years that I am. And come what may, no matter what looks I get, no matter what words are said against me, I know that if I just do what God tells me to do, that I can be a watchman for Him. I'm not the most brilliant man in the world, not by any stretch. But the men that I have followed, the women that I have followed, they didn't need to be geniuses to know. They just had to talk about the Lord and He would take care of the rest. It's not hard. Just sharing my own testimony isn't that difficult anymore. And so again, I ask, are you a watchman for the Lord? If you would, we're going to turn over to our last passage from the Lord's Word tonight. It's going to be Ephesians chapter 6. I know a lot of you are exceptionally familiar with this, especially anyone that's on the security team, having to do with the armor of God. But we're going to move just a little bit forward of that armor of God that we should all be wearing anyways. If any of you have never noticed, the men that are on our security team wear a little lapel pin. And it's the armor of God given to us by Brother Williams. He intentionally gives us an armor of God lapel pin, hoping that we'll put on the armor of God when we're doing security for this church. Not because any of us are 6'4", 240, and plan to take out the bad guy trying to harass us. He wants us to depend on the Lord to defend this church, not our own strengths. So our last passage of the evening is going to be Ephesians 6, 19 through 20. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. The Lord repeats it in almost every single book of the Bible. Go out and tell others about me. Worry not about yourselves. Worry about others to flee the wrath to come. When you listen literally to sermons from 200 years ago, they're saying, flee the wrath to come. Be a watchman unto others. You men, you matrons, speak unto others the truth of God and do it boldly when you go out. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful evening. Lord, I thank you for the men and women of this church, for the young men and women of this church who are watchmen for you. I ask that you would continue to watch over us and guide us in all that we do. Lord, please give me the courage that I need, no matter who I confront and encounter, that I would have the strength and the backbone that is needed to preach your word and to share your gospel boldly and without fear. In your precious name we pray. Amen.